This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run, 7.06 a.m. on Friday, the 1st of July. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Wong Xiaoning, taking you through the morning all the way up till 10 a.m.
Yeah, well, it's the start of the second half of the year.
That's right. We are into the next 6 months of 2022.
Which will also go in a flash. And before we know it, we're celebrating Christmas.
It's a good time of the year to take stock of what you want to achieve, you know, before Christmas. So we'll be discussing that, as always, as we do every day until then. But in half an hour, we're going to talk about the outlook for mergers and acquisitions in this climate of rising interest rates. Meanwhile, let's take a look at how global markets closed overnight.
Ooh, not great. There was only one market that was actually in the green, and that was the Shanghai Composite Index. It closed up 1.1%. But if we look at all the other major markets, the Dow was down 0.8%, S&P 500 down 0.9%, and NASDAQ down 1.3%. And because we're at the half-year mark, I just want to remind everyone about the year-to-date performance. So S&P 500 down 20%, Dow Jones down 15%, NASDAQ down 29%. Meanwhile, in Asia, Nikkei 225 was down 1.5%, Hang Seng down 0.6%. Like I said earlier, Shanghai was up 1.1%, Singapore Straits Times down 1%, and our very own FBM KLCI was down 0.5%. On a year-to-date basis, we are down 7.8%.
All right. So for some thoughts on what's moving markets and where they're headed, we speak to Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited out of Chicago. Tim, good morning. Thanks as always for joining us. Now, it's been the worst half-year performance for U.S. markets, with the broad gauge, the S&P 500, down around 21% since 1970. Are you expecting a rougher ride for the second half of the year? Should we expect more of this?
Yeah, I think you're coming to maybe an end of the first leg of this bear market. So I am expecting to see some sort of relief rally. But I think that it, you know, again, it will not come close to new highs or anything like that. I think it's a tradable rally. But to answer your question, I think it's going to be a rough market until the Fed gets through doing what they need to do, one way or the other.
Okay, so in the meantime, what is the kind of equity strategy are you adopting, Tim?
Well, for myself, it's more equity hedge type. So, you know, I'm pretty much, I would consider myself a value. Not that I'm a great value guy, but a value. I look kind of, try and think I know what value is, and then do a overlay hedge, but leave myself with what I call positive convexity. So when the market goes down, that means I have some stuff to buy. When the market goes up, I have stuff to sell. But basically, I'm not in growth, looking for good companies and looking for these repricing of the market, especially. And I think the biggest risk coming up here is going to be earnings revisions downward. They're still looking for very rosy earnings, which analysts will be the last ones to ever tell you, by the way. But at the end of the year, they're looking at, you know, like 9% earnings growth for the S&P. And outside of energy, I don't think so. So I think you're going to see that type of re-rating coming. And that's probably the next big shoe to drop in the market.
Okay. Since you're a value investor, tell us what's looking cheap to you.
Well, what's looking cheap?
or get cheaper.
I think financials, you know, are, especially like the JP Morgan's type thing, I think they're worth, you know, just think about this. Bank of America, for example, was up near $50 several months ago. It's now 30, you know, 32. I think those still have, because I don't think, even if we have a problem, yeah, they might have some headwind if we go into recession, but there's not excess in the financial system. I think that's pretty sure. So I like that area. You know, I think there's some refiners that I think have turned into value because they have good cash flow, buying back shares, and I think increasing their dividend. And I think that's always good. And I think they have pricing power going forward. You know, and it's hard to find value. You know, another company like, say, 3M, it's mirrored in some legal issues as well as recession. I mean, there's certain stocks, though, but you have to believe, I think, in number one, the quality of the company and, you know, the ability of the free cash flow, identified by free cash flow yield in my book, to be able to continue to return money to shareholders. And incidentally, Apple at a lot lower price, I think, is going to be a great long-term buy because they're going to be one of the companies giving most back to shareholders, I think, over the next 10 years.
And can we take a look maybe at the, intersection of finance and technology, which is fintech? In 2021, fintech was the hottest area of investment for venture capitalists. We saw like a dollar out of every $5 of funding flowed into finance technology related startups. What do you see for this sector for the rest of the year? You know, do you see that the wind has gone out of their sails?
Yeah, I think it kind of overdid it maybe a little bit, overinvestment, if you will. But I think the fintech sector itself is one that's going to thrive for a long time. But, you know, given the fact how easy it was for these companies to raise money, I think caused a little bit of excess here. So I think there's going to be some perhaps bargains to look at. But, you know, again, and the same thing with like DeFi in, you know, the crypto space, same thing. It's like you're going to be able to pick through some of these, I think. But I don't think either of them are going away. And fintech, I think, is an evolving and continuously evolving area that I think is going to merit interest. But overinvestment.
Okay, and we're going to look at one asset class that's really been hit very hard, and that's, of course, the cryptocurrencies, right? So if I look at Ether, it's down 72%, Bitcoin 59% this morning, $18,960. Do you think there's any that, are you a buyer at these levels?
Yeah, I still believe in, I think some of the crazy stuff, NFTs and some of the, you know, the Tether and some of these other, you know, rehypothecated type DeFi institutions that really, I think really kind of was the, you know, excess in that market. You know, I look at it this way. In 2000, pet.com, Priceline, all those dot-com busts that we might laugh about today, that certainly wasn't the end of e-commerce or the internet. And I think the same thing holds true here, but it's going to shake out. I think Bitcoin and Ether, I think, are very viable. I don't think you're really going to see people coming into the crypto, Bitcoin and Ether, until the dollar really shows some concern, because it is an anti-fiat currency play. And I do think that there's going to be a lot of opportunity. I just don't think it's going away. However, I would say this as well. Even Bitcoin, in the pandemic, it was 9,000 and it went to 60 something or other. And I remember even the top of 2017, we ran from 3,000 to 18,000. That's where we are right now. So I think it's in a kind of support area here. And I also think it's coming into an area where I think it could be some more downside, but I think it's still solid long-term as far as, not that I even understand it that well, but I do think, I'm not going to pretend that, but I do think that this is real and there's real people and I think real strategies here.
Okay, what about your view on cash, which is no longer trash, and U.S. Treasury bonds?
Yeah, cash is a strategic investment because you have to have dry powder, I think, to go through certain things. However, the strategy I have, and again, I'm not so sure how the Fed's going to do or what if they're going to be able to do, but I kind of like T-bill ladders or something where you can invest, you know, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. Don't ask. 6 months, 9 months, and 12 months. And then you just keep, as they mature, you keep rolling them. So a ladder. I think that's good and it takes advantage of a rising rate environment. Something along that, I think. Hey, at least you can get like 2%, even 3% yield now in the two-year sector. So good morning.
Indeed. Good morning, Tim. Thanks again for speaking to us. That was Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited in Chicago. And what I believe was a rooster greeting us good morning all the way here, even though it's evening in Chicago. But appreciate that.
It was some pet for sure. I'm not sure whether it was a dog or a rooster. But the last 2 years, we've had an assortment of animals join us on our show. Children, babies. That's living in the new life, the new era, right? We always have special guests. But back to Tim's conversation. So I think he brought up some of the cheap sectors because he is a value investor, right? So he likes financials, JP Morgan, Bank of America, refiners, and even Apple is a long-term buy, maybe at lower levels. But the point is they all have certain consistent themes within them. He likes quality, those with have strong free cash flow and the ability to return dividends to shareholders.
Mm. And he also struck a somewhat optimistic note on cryptos despite their plummet. I mean, I was really surprised. I've been away for a bit, but coming back today to see cryptos below 19,000, it's now at $18,000. I feel like it's kind of a hit and miss now, whether it's going to go up or whether it's going to go down. But Tim did remind us of all the times in the past where crypto plummeted, but then eventually rallied to new heights that we've never seen before. So I wouldn't write this asset off entirely.
No, I think it has a place definitely when it comes to investment instruments. Just that, like he says, you know, there's lots of other cryptocurrencies out there, you've got to pick the quality. Some will survive and it will come to some level. But I think we've got results coming out of US, very importantly, which is Micron, because they are the largest US maker of memory chips. And they reported third quarter results not so good. I think the forecast is not positive at all.
No, when you look at their earnings, their adjusted revenue came in at $8.6 billion versus $8.7 billion that was expected. Net income was at $2.6 billion or $2.59 per share after adjustments. Operating cash flow was at $3.8 billion versus $3.6 billion for the prior quarter. So really, analysts expected more, but what came in was less.
Yeah, very quickly, we look at the share price this morning. $55.28 is down 74 cents. But I do believe after market hours, share price has come even under pressure, even under more pressure. But despite this, 31 buys, 3 holds, 1 sell. Consensus price for this stock, $95. But I'm not sure whether we'll see more downgrades in the weeks ahead.
7:16 in the morning. We are taking a quick break, but we're going to come back and discuss the impact of rising cost of living on the M40 income segment. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.